Okay. So, Lynn Williams, welcome to Lynn's Q&A. Why
Thank you
don't
for having me.
Thank you. It's a pleasure to have you. Why don't you introduce yourself and tell us a little bit about how you became an expert on applicant tracking systems?
Sure. My name is Lynn Williams. I live in the suburbs of Philadelphia. And when I was a job seeker back in 2013, I was not getting any interviews. And after 7.5 months, I was scratching my head a little bit and figured that my problem was with the applicant tracking system. So I started doing a lot of research, and then I wrote about it, I did presentations on it, and that actually led to an article for the Association of Talent Development, ATD, which led to a chapter in a book 2 years later with 15 other career coaches from around the country. And Dick Bowles wrote the foreword. He's the author of What Color Is Your Parachute? So that was eye-opening when I learned all this research and put it together.
Okay, great, great. I wanted to ask you, are there fundamental misunderstandings that job seekers have about why their application's being rejected?
Absolutely. A lot of people think that they can have a highly formatted, very graphically, beautifully designed resume. And that doesn't necessarily work going through an applicant tracking system. You want, bare bones type resume with just, black and white, and you don't want any section breaks and whatnot interrupting, the bot reading your resume. So I would definitely make sure that you deconstruct your highly formatted resume for human beings so that it can be read by bots.
Okay, great answer, because that leads me right into my next question. What are your top three tips for beating an applicant tracking system?
Well, number one is you don't want the highly formatted resume. When I deconstruct a resume, I take it down to bare bones, just straight typing in Arial 12-point font. I do put black bullet points in, but that's about it. There's nothing else. It's pretty vanilla, so to speak. Also, you want to weave keywords in, and I don't know.
Well,
You want to take the time to customize each of the resumes so that you're not using like one resume size fits all, so to speak. So everybody should have a base pretty resume for human beings and a deconstructed resume for the bots. And then you would tweak each of those for each job that you apply for.
okay, so you're saying I need more than one resume, basically.
In my humble opinion, absolutely. So you're going to actually have two resumes per job that you are going to use to apply to the applicant tracking system. As I said, the pretty one for humans, and it may have a little pop of color or some shading or bands or something on it, but you have to take all that stuff out so that it's bare bones and just made Arial 12-point font is what I use for that deconstructed resume. And you do have to move a couple sections around and rename some of the sections so it is standardized, for applicant tracking systems. But there really are over 200 applicant tracking systems that exist, and no one can possibly know, how each one of them works. So I just subscribe to best practices.
Okay. Could you walk me a little bit through the logistics of how those two resumes are paired? I mean, one is for the applicant tracking system and the other is for a human being to see, you said. So how do I make
Correct.
sure that the one for the human being gets to a human being? Am I emailing this separately or do I add it into the
It
application?
could be, yes, it
Okay.
could be emailed separately, or a lot of times at the end of an online application, you are asked, do you want to attach a resume? If so, that's the pretty resume. Do you want to include a cover letter? Do you need to include any certifications or clearances? So that's the time at the end of the application, if it asks for it, that you can put that pretty resume up there. So there's two words you need to be cognizant of: upload and attach. So upload is a very good indication that an applicant tracking system is involved.
Super interesting. Okay. I wanted to ask you something that I hear from a lot of job seekers, and that is sometimes when you're applying, you'll have the option to type in your resume manually, and you can also upload. Is there a difference there? Is one of those options, based on what you just said, is going to go to the ATS and the other?
I'm a fangirl of upload. Okay. And making sure that within literally a nanosecond, that resume is read by the bots. Now, you may have to make a few tweaks on it. I'll give you an example. My daughter applied to a company and she had to make three tweaks on her ATS resume. One was that it didn't put commas between the city and the states, but that's because the bot wants to put the city in the city field and the state in the state field. Then it put her volunteer experience into her work experience. And then there was another issue. She had her accomplishments with her bullet points right underneath, starting under her job title. Well, the ATS system that she used, it wanted to make that first bullet point, that little introductory sentence, whether it was about the company or her job. So instead, she turned around and just put a bullet point back in. But other than that, it was just lickety split. It was just read by the bots because it was formatted properly.
Okay, so does it make sense to try to make your resume stand out either to the ATS or to the human being that you're sending to? Or it sounds more like you're trying to just optimize it so that it gets seen at all.
Well, you do want to optimize your resume so that it does make it through, because you've got recruiters or hiring managers or HR departments who could be operating a couple different ways. One way I've heard is that they let every single resume go through. Another way that I've heard is that sometimes HR professionals might put parameters on the system. So let's say 1,200 people applied to a job and it was just too much, like they don't want to look at 1,200 resumes. So they have to have these parameters on so that they look at less resumes that are more relevant. So there's something called contextualization. So contextualization is where not only the keyword is read, but the words before it and afterwards. In other words, the bot reads entire phrases. So you want to make sure that you've got that matchy-matchy between the job description and your resume so that it will score higher on the applicant tracking system contextualization. When it goes through a parser, it gives you that mathematical score that you match 80%, 92%, 98%, et cetera. So you don't want to cheat the system. I've heard people wanting to take the bottom of their resume and they include the job description in a 1-point font that is kind of put at the very bottom, and they make it white. Well, guess what color it comes out on the other end? It comes out black. So I don't think that shows a lot of integrity from people. So you don't want to cheat the system that way, but you do want to make sure that, you know, you have a half a shot of getting seen. But the best thing you should do, you should be networking your way to your next job. Like, make networking a habit. That is my best advice, because you've heard that, you know, 80% of jobs are found through networking. So do that networking part first, so that when you're asked to upload the resume through an ATS, that at least you know how to get it through and that it makes sense with your resume matching the job description somewhat.
Fantastic. So network as net worth, so to speak.
Absolutely.
I wanted to ask you if there were other things that job seekers could be doing to increase their chances of getting a job aside from optimizing their resumes for the ATS. So networking.
Well, that would be the networking. Absolutely. Okay. And you know, it's a little tough in person now. Mm-hmm. So there are so many groups that have networking available on not online. And one example is the Great Careers Group in Bang, which is the 501c3 nonprofit I represent. We have career education and networking, and we run up to 50 events per month. So there's really pretty much something almost every day, and some several things a day where you can come and learn and network and meet people. And we have people from not only around the country, but we actually have some international members. And you never know who knows who knows who knows who. And we've had people, you know, outside of our local area land jobs due to referrals, which is a wonderful thing. So keep on networking, even online. And on Clubhouse. Clubhouse is a pretty cool place to network also. So I run a Clubhouse every Friday at from 11 a.m. to 12 p.m. Eastern Standard Time.
Well, you might see me there next time.
Yay.
Yay. So where can people go to find you to learn more?
Sure. So the best place is our website, which is greatcareers with an S, PHL, kind of like the Philadelphia Airport, .org. We are not a .com because we are a nonprofit. Greatcareersphl.org. So when you go to that website, there's three pages that I'm going to really point out to take a look at. One is our events page, and that has all the links on it in order to register for our events or for affiliate events. Then you go to the membership page, because not everything we do is free. We're a nonprofit. We don't get funding from anywhere. So if all of our members pay $4 to $5 a month, which is a total of $49 to $59 a year, we can help sustain ourselves and keep paying it forward. So $4 a month for up to 100 hours worth of programming ain't too bad.
That's a great deal.
The other thing is go to our contact us page, because that has all the links to our social media. You can subscribe to our newsletter and our meetup group. Our meetup group has over 5,100 members, but we also have other members that are above and beyond that on a totally different platform. So we use Salesforce to register. And a lot of times people don't realize that they get an auto reply from Salesforce when they register on our Bitly links, and it goes into their spam or promotions folder. Hmm. So if they search the word bronze or bang, depending on what level they are, they will find, you know, that auto reply. But the best thing to do is to double up and also join the meetup, because I do put the Zoom links on the meetup. However, the official registration to be let into the meetup is via the Bitly link. And that's where you get the choice of registering as a member, or you have to pay a whopping $5 non-member fee. But if you think about it, if you want to attend more than one event a month, you know, we do provide great value. We have amazing speakers. So it's always good to just be a member.
Sounds like a meaningful investment, also just for the network benefits that you mentioned.
Absolutely. We are an amazing community. We have people who believe in paying it forward and members helping members, but our main tagline is your career, our mission. So we are here to help you learn and grow and learn how to develop your LinkedIn profile, resume tips, networking tips, ATS tips, etc. But we do publicize events for our affiliates, especially if I'm the speaker. So I hope you'll come and join us online to our amazing community.
Okay, well, I think that our job seekers are going to find this really enlightening, very interesting. I even learned something listening to you. So it's been a pleasure talking with you, Lynn Williams, and thanks so much for being on Lynn's Q&A. And we hope to have you back sometime soon.
All right. Well, thanks for having me.
Thank you so much.